देवी तुलसी महारानी की समवेद गौर भक्त वृंद की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela chapter 4 entitled The Confidential Reasons of the Lord's Appearance text 56 Radha Krishna Eka Atma Dui Deha Dhari अन्योने विलासे रास आश्वादना करी राधा कृष्ण एक आत्मा दुई देह धारी अन्योये विलासे रास आश्वादना करी राधा कृष्ण एक आत्मा दुई देहधारी अन्योये विलासे रास आश्वादना करी Matajis. Radha Krishna, Radha and Krishna, Eka, one. आत्मा सेल्फ दुई टू देह बॉडीज धरी एज्यूमिंग अन्योने वन अनादर विलासे दे एंजॉय रस द मेलोज ऑफ लव आश्वादन करी टेस्टिंग Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Radha and Krishna are one and the same, but they have assumed two bodies. Thus they enjoy each other, tasting the mellows of love. Purport. The two transcendentalists, Radha and Krishna, are a puzzle to the materialist. The above description of Radha and Krishna from the diary of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami is a condensed explanation, but one needs great spiritual insight to understand the mystery of these two personalities. One is enjoying in two. I repeat, one is enjoying in two. Sri Krishna is the potent factor and Srimati Radharani is the internal potency. According to Vedanta philosophy, there is no difference between the potent and the potency. They are identical. We cannot differentiate between one and another, and more than we can separate fire from heat. Everything is in the absolute is inconceivable in relative existence. Therefore, in relative cognizance, it is very difficult to assimilate this truth of oneness between the potent and the potency. The philosophy of inconceivable oneness and difference propounded by Lord Chaitanya is only source of understanding of such intricacies of transcendence. In fact, Radharani is the internal potency of Sri Krishna, and she eternally intensifies the pleasure of Sri Krishna. Impersonalists cannot understand this without the help of a Mahabhagavat devotee. The very name Radha suggests that Srimati Radharani is eternally the topmost mistress of the comforts of Sri Krishna. I repeat, the very name Radha suggests that Srimati Radharani is eternally the topmost mistress of the comforts of Sri Krishna. As such, she is the medium transmitting the living entity's service to Sri Krishna. Devotees in Vrindavan therefore seek the mercy of Srimati Radharani in order to be recognized as the loving servitors of Sri Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally approaches the fallen conditioned souls of this iron age to deliver the highest principle of transcendental relationship with the Lord. The activities of Lord Chaitanya are primarily in the role of pleasure-giving portion of his internal potency. The absolute personality of Godhead Sri Krishna is the omnipotent form of transcendental existence, knowledge and bliss in full. His internal potency is exhibited first as Sat or existence, or in other words, as the portion that expands the existence function of the Lord. When the same potency displays full knowledge, it is called Chit or Samvit, which expands the transcendental form of the Lord. Finally, when the same potency plays a pleasure-giving medium, it is known as Ladhini, or the transcendental blissful potency. Thus, the Lord manifests His internal potency in three transcendental divisions. Om Ajnan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha. Panchatatvakmakam Krishnam Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Jayatam Suratav Pangor Mamamanda Matergati Matsarvasva Padam Bhojao Radha Madana Mohanao. Divyad Vrindaranya Kalpadrumada Shriman Ratnagara Shinghasanasto Shri Shri Radha Shila Govinda Devau Prestalibhi Sevya Mano Smarani Shriman Ras Rasarambhi Bamsi Vata Tatastita Karshan Venu Swaner Gopi Gopinatha Shri Estanaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jayashi Krishna Chaitanya Unityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. Ram, Ram, Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna. So welcome for this very, very special, wonderful festival of Radhashtami. Very, very holy day. It is very interesting that the last 1 month in our Vaishnava calendar, every year this month, it begins with the beautiful festival of Balram Jayanti, and then we have Janmashtami, Jhulan Yatra, and then of course the most holy of holy days, Radhashtami, which is today. I was just thinking and I was just sharing, I was talking to one of my senior godbrother a few minutes back, and he was saying that Janmashtami is like the birthday of the father's birthday. So father has lot of family connections, many times he has lot of social connections, business connections, so it is a very public affair. Yeah, but usually, in a very, very classical sense, the mother's birthday is a very private affair. Today I was driving down from my home, and usually, you know, when we are coming for Janmashtami early morning, we see big, big hoardings, right? Sarvajanik Dahihandi Utsav. And all sorts of hoardings all over Bombay talking about, you know, Sarvajanik, that, you know, Janmashtami, which is for them it is Dahihandi or whatever they call it. But I challenge you, you search whole of Bombay today, you will not find a single hoarding which says Sarvajanik Radhashtami Utsav Mahotsav. Not at all. Because it is a very, very private affair. So we are very fortunate that we, you know, Janmashtami was so much management, so much lines and so much of, you know, abhishekhs and this and that. Yes, it is good, it is required because that is the way we celebrate Janmashtami. But Radhashtami is a very private affair, only family members. And today morning and of course today evening, more family members will come. Of course, in one sense, Vasudeva Kutumbakam, the whole creation is our family. No doubt about that. It's Vasudeva Kutumbakam. But yes, the people who really understand the glory of Radharani are very, very rare. Manushya Nam Sahasreshu Kasijati Siddhaye. Sudurlabham, I mean, Manush, very Durlabh, who understands Krishna. And more rare than to understand Krishna is to also understand the glories of Srimati Radharani. Radharani is, as Prabhupada calls it very nicely, she is Jagan Mata. That very word, at least for me, I'm sure all of you also, gives a very soothing feeling, gives a very sheltering feeling, gives a very motherly feeling, which we all are always wanting. She is Jagan Mata. She is the mother of the whole creation. She is always there to give shelter. Father is strict. Sarva Dharman Parityaja, abandon, and he just makes so much rules. But Srimati Radharani is very loving. And as we go to discussing today, we will, I'm sure all of you know it, but we will be discussing more and more about her wonderful personality. A personality which is most suitable to take complete shelter of. So, yesterday Gaurang Prabhu beautifully explained what is Radha Tattva? The Tattva of Srimati Radharani, the science of Radharani. It is a very, very confidential understanding. And Prabhupada in one of the lectures was saying that to understand Radharani, there will be so many misconceptions. And Prabhupada said, then changed, he said, not misconceptions, actually no conceptions. People have no conception of who is Radharani. They have no understanding of who is Radharani. And it is so rare that even people who are devout devotees of Krishna, of Vishnu, of Narayan, even they don't have understanding of Radharani. Now we go back in history, this very, very extremely important part of history, which happened in Jaipur. This was this great ruler, Maharaj Jai Singh. He was very much influenced by Gaudiya Vaishnavism because, as I was reading his history, at the age of 7, he went to Vrindavan. His family was following Ramanandis. The Ramanandis are basically devotees of Narayan. And of course they worship Ram. And there was a great saint in their lineage which says Ramananda. That's why they are called Ramanandis. So the whole family was very much influenced by the Ramanandis. But because at this young age he went to Vrindavan, and somehow there his heart was captured at this young age. So he was very much attracted to Vrindavan. And as he grew, he was naturally very much attracted to the Goswamis of Vrindavan. He was very closely working with Rupa Goswami, very closely working with Raghunath Das Goswami. And at one point, it's a beautiful history. We're just trying to cut it short to address the issue that we are talking about today. At one point, he actually wanted to worship Radha and Govinda in the temple, because the deities came there. And he said, oh, it's such a fortune to worship Radha and Govinda. The Ramanandis were the spiritual heads of the kingdom. And they said that your Gaudiya Vaishnavism is not a bona fide religion at all. It was the attack on the very root of the existence of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. They were just trying to say that, well, it is not a bona fide religion. Why? Because there is no official commentary on the Vedanta Sutra that you have. Every bona fide sampradaya needs to have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And where is your commentary? And our Acharya said, well, Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary written by Vedavyasa, so there was no need to write a separate commentary. So no, you need a commentary. And if you do not write a commentary in the next 1 week, we will de-recognize, or rather it will never recognize anyways, but we will not consider Gaudiya Vaishnavism as a bona fide religion. That means all that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, he was no more, he went back, was questioned. And as the outcome of this decision, one of the most painful things that they ordered is that you cannot worship Radharani next to Krishna, because she is not married to Krishna. You can worship Ram Sita because they are married. You can worship Lakshmi Narayan because they are married. But Radha was not married to Krishna, so she has to be taken away and worshipped separately. And to the great pain of Jai Singh, Maharaj Jai Singh, he had to follow the orders of the Ramanandis and separate Radha Rani from Krishna. So that was the most painful thing. The devotees were so pained. How can Radha Rani be separated from Krishna? And of course the beautiful story happened. The news went to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He was very old. He called for Baldev Vidyabhushan and said, you must protect this, our sampradaya. And then of course he went to Vrindavan. He went to pray to his deity Govindaji. And the Govindaji said, okay, just become a stenographer. I'm dictating, just write. And the deity spoke the Govinda Bhasya. He presented the commentary they recognized the whole understanding of Radha Tattva was recognized. That yes, Radha Rani, the whole understanding of Parakya Ras, that relationship with Krishna outside of marriage, which was recognized. The point we are trying to drive over here, my dear friends, is that this understanding of Radha Rani is very rare. You can be a devotee of Vishnu, you can be a devotee of Ram, and still not have understanding of Radha Rani. That's how rare it is. That's the purpose of this, pointing out the story to us. So how fortunate we are that we have access to this understanding by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters. So we must understand that Radha Rani is not an ordinary lady, and Prabhupada says, and not even a special lady. Prabhupada is very emphatic. She's not an ordinary lady. And people say, yeah, she's not an ordinary lady. And she's not even a special lady. Because she is not a lady at all. She's a divine energy of the Lord. You understand this? Sometimes we say somebody is not ordinary. Oh, then it must be special. But she's not even special. She's not a lady. She's not one of the ladies of this world that Krishna associates with. That means there is absolutely no material understanding or connection to that relationship. So before we really go into discussing about Radharani, let us understand, let us get this out of our mind, that there is absolutely nothing material in this relationship. Because still the time we are tinged, at least for the next 2 hours or 1.5 hours, or at least for this day today, and slowly extending it from today to our whole life, let us understand there is nothing material between Radha and Krishna, because our dumb senses, which are so much polluted and contaminated by this kamaras, the rasa of lust. I mean, it's not a rasa. It is something very distasteful. But till the time, there's a beautiful bhajan, Kaam rasa tyaga pyare, Ram rasa bhariye. That till the time you do not give up the desire for sense gratification, which is grossly seen in the form of sexual desire, till the time the Ram ras or Krishna ras will not enter your heart. And you will always see a man and a woman relationship through this lusty understanding. How can a man and woman be together and not have lust? So my dear friends, please, get this out. Put it near the shoe stall. And pick it up when you go out. If at all you want to put it. Just let us understand. There's nothing. And when I'm telling you, I'm much more telling myself. Let us all understand there's nothing material. Because she's not a lady. She's the divine energy of the Lord. As Prabhupada explains in this beautiful purport. Srimati Radharani Krishna expands in three potencies. Krishna is unlimited potency. But he expands in this three potency. And what are these three potencies? Sandhini, Samvit, and Ladhini Shakti. The Sandhini Shakti is what sustains every living entity. The sustaining force of every living entity is the Sandhini Shakti of the Lord. Which is the predominating deity of that Shakti is Lord Balramji. Because he sustains everything that exists in the material and the spiritual worlds. So Krishna expands as Sandhini Shakti to really sustain everything. The whole creation, material and spiritual. The knowledge acquiring, the understanding of what, is the Samvit Shakti, the potency. Krishna expands. You need to know. You need to know who is what. That knowledge is the Samvit. And with all these things, Krishna said, well, I also want to enjoy. Because the desire to enjoy is the innate nature of every living entity, because that is the predominating nature of Krishna. Krishna wants to enjoy. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The cause of all causes. Shad Aishwarya Purna. With all this opulence, what do? You just don't do nothing. A person makes money, he wants to enjoy with his money, right? So Krishna wants to enjoy. But as I said, Krishna cannot enjoy with anything material because he is completely spiritual. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachite Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. What a brilliant understanding of Krishna. When I first read this, it was most amazing. That Krishna is perfect and complete. Everything emanating from Krishna is perfect and complete. When you remove something from Krishna, that thing which has been removed is perfect and complete. And Krishna also remains perfect and complete. Absolutely against any mathematical understanding. If you remove 2 from 5, it is 3 and 2. Very simple. Right? The 5 cannot remain 5. And the 2 cannot become 5. But what this sloka says, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnas Purnamudachite Purnasya Purnam Adhaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. The word repeated again and again is Purnam, 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 Purnam. Hitting ourselves. Please understand, before you understand Krishna, Om Purnamada Purnamidam. Krishna is perfect and complete. The 9-10 cantos is telling us again and again, what is Krishna? The Bhagavad Gita told us about Krishna. The Vedas told us about Krishna. And then comes the 10th canto, which slowly gives only a glimpse to us. But who is Radharani? That's only a glimpse, not even mentioned clearly. Not even a word is mentioned of Radharani. Her name is not mentioned. A different reason, we'll discuss this as we go further. So Krishna is perfect and complete. And when Krishna wants to enjoy, he has to create something from himself. I remember once, you know, in a lighter sense, one of the sannyasis was mentioning, I said, Maharaj, it's so amazing that, you know, Krishna, when he wakes up, he is reading the Krishna book in Dwarka Leela, that he gets up and then he meditates upon himself. Isn't it sweet? I think many of us have read, right? When he gets up, Krishna goes into dhyan, and he meditates upon himself. So then this particular leader, he said, what to do? He has nobody else to meditate upon. He's unfortunate. Which is true. He's nothing else. What can he do? He's a meditate upon himself because there's nothing else. He's supreme. So sometimes being God is not so fortunate. That's why our Gaudiya philosophy is so wonderful. Prabhupada is saying, you want to be God? Why are you breaking your head becoming God? Come to understand the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can become, of course in the right understanding, greater than God. And Radharani, as we go further, we'll understand, Krishna is subservient to her. So Krishna expands himself as the Ladini potency, the pleasure-giving potency of his, is Srimati Radharani. So that's the understanding of her. She is Krishna, as Krishna, as Prabhupada said in this line. One are enjoying in two. What an interesting line it is, right? One person, how can you enjoy yourself? I mean, in a sense, just imagine, he said, you were alone. Then you want to play cricket. What will you do? You throw the ball and you... What's the fun? I'm giving a very mundane understanding because... But Krishna cannot enjoy alone. So he has Radharani. And then he expands. Radharani expands. Into many, many different forms. So the glories of Radharani is beautifully explained by our acharyas also. We will talk about three acharyas. Srila Prabhupada, you can all imagine what was the intensity of Prabhupada when he was climbing on the Jaladuta. Can we all understand? His whole life's mission was coming to a beginning when he was climbing the Jaladuta. We have this book, A Lifetime of Preparation. He prepared. And what was he preparing for? To go to the West. And finally, he's climbing the stairs of Jaladuta. That means it was not the end of his mission. It was the beginning of his mission. The mission which was given in 1922. Way back in 1922, he was beginning the mission. I think in the year 1965. Climbing. And as he was in the Jaladuta, we all know what had happened. And as he was approaching, he wrote this bhajan. He wrote this, his heart's feelings. Not knowing that it was ever going to be published. Many times we write the Vyas Puja offering or something. We know it is going to be published in the book, so you know we are we're trying to put more energy. Prabhupada never knew that this ever going to be published. He was his private prayers, private ecstasies. And the line which is called the refrain line. I didn't know what this refrain line mean. Every bhajan has many bhajans have a refrain. What does the refrain mean? So I went to the dictionary. Refrain means the poet or the author wants the audience to repeat that line again and again to know that that line is very important. That's why the poet writes the refrain. I mean, I didn't know it for all this. I went and I said, that's the meaning of refrain. The author or the poet in this case is saying that this line is very important and you should sing this line after every stanza because this is very important as per what I am saying because I have written this poetry. And Prabhupada wrote the bhajan and the refrain of that bhajan is Krishna tab punya habe bhai ye punya koribe jabe radha rani khushi hobe. Dhruvati bole tomatai. He said, oh brother. This is a refrain, yeah? This is not just one of the lines. This is a refrain. He's saying, oh brother, the Supreme Lord Krishna will bestow virtue upon you. He will bestow virtue upon you. But. Every time he said, there is, moment the but comes, you know, conditions apply. Right? Moment somebody says, yeah, I'll do it. And then you're waiting for the but. The moment the but comes, we know that, well, there's some conditions. So Prabhupada is saying, Krishna will surely give his virtue to you. But, he will do this only when Srimati Radharani first becomes pleased with you. Srimati Radharani ki? Prabhupada is very clearly saying, only if Radharani is pleased with you, Krishna has anything to do with you. Otherwise, he has nothing to do with you. Very simple. He has no time for you. He's too busy. You can be jumping and trying to attract his attention. Nothing will work. He's a big man. Krishna is a big man. You cannot just attract the attention of a big man so easily. But Prabhupada is giving a secret here. He said, you cannot attract his attention. He will give his virtue to, but only, this word only. He's not saying this and also this. There's two or three options. No, there's only one option. Please understand, there's only one option. And what's the option? When Radharani becomes pleased with you. This I surely declare to you. Prabhupada is saying with emphasis. This, what is the word? Dhruva ati bole tomatai. Dhruva means firm. This I surely tell to you. Prabhupada is saying this. The importance of Srimati Radharani. Again and again. Only Radharani is pleased. The devotees approached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur while they were at Govardhan. And they were amazed to see the devotion people have for Giriraj, the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And said, Prabhupada, they have such devotion. The people who are doing Dandavat Parikrama here. People are just offering Dandavat Parikrama. And there's some people, they told Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there's some people who are doing extra Dandavat Parikrama at one spot, offering 108 obeisances. That's amazing, isn't it, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, yeah, this is very nice. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in a very, very, his natural rasika mood at that time. He said, yes, this is very nice. But we have a different understanding, he said. For us, he said, the Supreme is Srimati Radharani. And we worship Krishna only because Radharani is very close to Krishna. Of course, this was a very rustic understanding. He said, yes, people are worshipping Giriraj, which is Krishna, which is very good. But our understanding is Radharani is the supreme. And we have anything to do with Krishna because she loves Krishna. So, of course, the same personality, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, spoke for 30 days on the first verse of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, glorifying Krishna. 30 days. Yeah. So, of course, he was just trying to show how important is the position of Srimati Radharani in our sampradaya. And then we have this beautiful acharya. So many acharyas speak about Srimati Radharani. We have this beautiful this acharya, Vasudev Ghosh. He says, Yadi gaur na hoito, tabe ki hoito, kemo na dhoritam dhe. He's just saying, what would happen if Mahaprabhu would not be there? The first line, what he says? He says many, many things. If Mahaprabhu would not be there, what would happen? That's a homework for all of you to refer. Different things that he says. But the first thing he says, Radhara Mahima Premarasa Sima Jagata Janatake. How would have the world ever known the glories of Srimati Radharani? And without knowing the glories of Radharani, how would you really make progress in Krishna consciousness? So this is the glorious position of Srimati Radharani. Even when you refer the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, very amazing scripture written by Sanatana Goswami, establishing in a very chronological way, very scientific way, who is the greatest devotee of the Lord. It can be a whole seminar. Radhana Swami gave a whole 6-day seminar on Brihad Bhagavatamrita. But just to get a clarity from that, first, we are just going a little fast forward. First he said, Lord Brahma. Yeah, Brahma is a great devotee. But higher than Lord Brahma, of course there are many other people before Lord Brahma. But higher than Lord Brahma is Lord Shiva. Because Brahma is more in the Karma Mrishya category. The devotees of Lord Brahma, more of Karma Mrishya. But higher than Lord Brahma is Lord Shiva, because devotees of Lord Shiva are more in the Gnan category. Gnan Mishra Bhakti is higher than Karma Mrishya Bhakti. And then slowly Bhivad Bhagavatamrita explains, yes, Brahma is there, higher than Lord Brahma is Lord Shiva. And then it enters into the domain of Shuddha Bhakti. As we saw, the train enters into the domain of Shuddha Bhakti, the understanding. And what is he saying? Then he says that yes, higher than Lord Shiva is Prahlad. Prahlad is higher than Lord Shiva, but he was in Shantaras. He was just offering prayers to the Lord. Not much service, but intense prayers to the Lord. Shantaras. But higher than Prahlad. Anybody knows? It's Hanumanji. Hanuman, he is in Dasyaras. Because there was active service involved. He was serving the Lord 24 hours as a servant of the Lord. And as we go further, the higher than Hanumanji were the Pandavas. Because they had Sakyaras with Krishna. They saw Krishna as a friend. But even among the higher than Pandavas, in Sakiras was Uddhav. Who was, it is explained that Uddhav was almost on the same level as the Vatsala Ras of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. But still higher than Uddhav was Nanda and Yashoda, because they were in pure Vatsala Ras of Krishna. So slowly, the reader, Sanatana Goswami is taking us through the beautiful, his growing understanding of who are the highest devotees of the Lord. Of course, each of the devotees are very happy being what they are. They are satisfied. Hanuman is very happy to be Hanuman. He never wants to be having a sakya relation with the Lord. Unthinkable for him. He's happy. But still, there is gradation of there is some hierarchy. Not to say that one is less or more, but the understanding is more deeper. Then it goes further to Nanda and Yashoda. But ultimately, the point we want to drive is, it culminates. You know, the gopis of Vrindavan. Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajeshtanaya Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachitu Pasana Vrajavadhu Vargenava Kalpita. Shrimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumartho Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatra Dharana Paraha. This is the Mata. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matam Idam. This is my Mata. What are these five things? The Lord that we want to worship, Aradhya Bhagavana, Brajesha Tanaya. We want to worship that Lord who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Brajesha. Brajesha is Nanda Maharaj. Who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna of Vrindavan. The Dhamma Vrindavan, the place that we want to worship. There are millions of holy places, but the highest of all holy places is Vrindavan. And there are hundreds and millions of devotees of the Lord. But all the devotees, the highest devotee is the Brajabadhus. So that's what Bhagavatamrita establishes. The highest is Brajabadhu. And of all, Srimati Radharani is the highest. So that is the glorious position. What we are trying to do is this: establish the most unique and the most blessed position of Srimati Radharani. On this day, we must understand who she is. Otherwise, just Radhe, 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 Radhe is just emotion, is just dry emotions, no substance. Substance comes with knowledge. Gnan is required. And the Gnan in application becomes Vigyan. But what can you apply if you don't have Gnan? So this knowledge is required. Otherwise, just emotion without knowledge becomes Sahajism. We cry for Radharani. Oh, Radhe, Radhe. But as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the moment they become free from that crying, they go and smoke a bidi. They need to smoke that bidi because there is no substance inside. So what we are trying to understand is the tattva, the glories of Radharani. Because then, when from our heart, when we say, Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam, or when we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When we chant this Mahamantra, we understand how glorious is Srimati Radharani. Radharani expands herself, as we said, Krishna expands himself in various swamsas and vibhinamsas. Similarly, Radharani, who is the direct expansion of Krishna, she also expands herself, mainly in three different categories. Very interesting. The Vaikuntha Lakshmi Gana, the Puri Dvaya Mahishi Gana, and the Vraja Gopi Gana. Gana means a group. The first is the Vaikuntha Lakshmi. The Lakshmis. Lakshmi Sahastra Sata Sambrama Sevyamanam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bajami. The millions and millions of Lakshmis which are serving Govinda, as explained by Lord Brahma in the Brahma Samhita. Who are they? They are expansions of Srimati Radharani. But what is their speciality? What is their unique feature? Lakshmis, they are four-handed. But Radharani is two-handed. So there's a difference of form and difference of their mood. It is filled with Aishwarya. That Gana, which is the Vaikuntha Lakshmi Gana, their mood is filled with Aishwarya. And then, little higher than Vaikuntha, I would not be right to say higher, on the same level, but similar, the next Gana is Puri Dvaya Mahishi Gana. That means the queens of Dwarka. Radharani expands as the queens of Dwarka. They have love for Krishna, but as Acharya has explained, that love is shrunken by Aishwarya. They have love for Krishna. The Lakshmis are purely Aishwarya Bhav for Narayan. Pure Aishwarya. Here, the queens, they have love for Krishna. I mean, they are queens, they are wives. But it's explained that the love is shrunken. It's like, you know, you have a grape, a green grape, and then it shrinks. It becomes a dry grape. And because there's some pressure on that grape, there's some effect, some atmospheric effect, some drying happening. So it gets dried into a dry fruit grape. It is still sweet. When you eat that kismis with this dry fruit, it is sweet. But it is dry, it's shrunken. But the full-fledged grape, which is turgid with rasa, are the Brajabadhus, the gopis. Because there is no Aishwarya. It's only Madhurya. It's only love for Krishna. But the queens, they have love for Krishna, but it's shrunken by tinge of Aishwarya. Lakshmi was told that, you know, if you want, he said, I want to participate, you know, in the Rasa Leela. I said, oh, you want to participate in Rasa Leela? Please. You need to be like these gopis. And you need to make cow dung paddies. Me and cow dung paddies. How is it possible? Not possible. She couldn't enter the Rasa Leela. She did tapasya at Belavan, but she couldn't get into, because the Aishwarya was a problem. A serious problem in entering Vrindavan. It is explained, this beautiful story, that Krishna was having intense headache in Dwarka. Maybe he saw all of us. So, my God, what sort of devotees we have? You get headaches, you know, when you when you have some problem on your head. Oh, baap re, kya karu abhi, yaar? I mean, but how can Krishna have a headache? Krishna is, you know, such is Ananda Swarup. But Krishna had a headache. And Narad Muni was in Dwarka. He said, Krishna said, Narad Muni, I have intense headache. It's just unbeatable headache. It's just incurable. Just too intense. So he said, please tell me, what do I do? Your body is spiritual. I can't give any material medicine to you. You can't go to a Bhaktivedanta hospital. Krishna had a headache. What do we do? So he said, you get the dust on the lotus feet of my devotee. Narad Muni said, very easy, no problem. Huh? There's 24 hours medical counter available, devotees with dust, no problem. So he went to the queens of Dwarka. He said, your husband Krishna is having a headache. I said, oh my God, we are very pained. It's just unthinkable. They were really sad. How can Krishna have a headache? They were really, really sad. I said, can you please tell us what we can do? He said, give your dust. Krishna is asking for your dust. I said, no. How can we give dust? He is our husband. We worship in our heart. How can we give dust? And besides, if we give dust, will we go to hell? How can our dust come on Krishna's head? We will go to hell. We can't give dust. I said, Krishna is suffering. Yeah, yeah. But we can't give our dust. We feel sad. Yes, they felt sad. They were seriously sad. There's no question of their love for Krishna. 100% love. But what was it? They could not give the dust. Then Gaur Govind Maharaj was explaining. Narad Muni was thinking. Gaur Govind Maharaj tells this story in a very beautiful way. And then Narad Muni was scratching his head. What sort of devotees are this? They want Krishna to suffer but not ready to give dust. Then he said, let me go to Vrindavan. And then Narad Muni went from Dwarka to Vrindavan. And when the gopis were all waiting in Vipralamba, waiting for Krishna, and they saw anybody coming from the direction of Dwarka, they would run to him. Can you imagine the intensity of the gopis? I think none of us can imagine. Just for years and years, they just went, kept on looking. Gaur Govind Maharaj explains, kept on looking in the direction. They would get up in the morning, get ready and run and just simply wait. Doing what? Just look in the direction of Dwarka. And anybody coming there, they would ask, and they saw Narad Muni coming. He said, the great devotee of the Lord. He said, Narad Muni, you are coming from Dwarka. Please tell us, how is Krishna? I said, oh, your Krishna is suffering from intense headache. So there was pain. I said, what happened? What can we do about it? I said, Krishna wants the dust of his devotee's feet. Can you give? And the gopis said, take it as you want. Gopis were pulling Narad Muni. No, don't take mine. Take mine. Take mine. Don't take hers. Take mine. And Gaur Govind Maharaj explains, there was craters and craters of craters formed, because there was so much dust given, bags full of. He said, Gaur Govind Maharaj said, he gave bags full of dust. Take it. Can you imagine this? They were not just small holes. They were craters formed. Gopis just dug all the dust. Take it. Take it as you want. Narad Muni said, do you know what you are doing? I said, of course we know. You know, many times, devotees who have intense love, people think they are foolish. The gopis were coward girls. Many of the people thought that, oh, what do they know what they are doing? But, yogakshama mahamyam, Krishna carries what you have and supplies what you lack. All the knowledge that you need to know about Krishna is this revealed. You don't have to really be a scholar of the Vedas. Because it is explained, Yugala Nama Shruti Sar hai. The Sar of all Shruti. All the scriptures is in the holy names. The Gopi says, of course we know what we are doing. We are going to go to hell for the rest of our life. But if we can save Krishna's headache for 1 second, we are fine to go to hell for the rest of our life. Can you imagine this mathematics? 1 second of peace to Krishna, the right to live for eternity in hell. This is the difference between the love of the gopis of Vrindavan and the love of the queens of Dwarka and the love of the Lakshmis of Vaikuntha. And of all these gopis, Srimati Radharani is the supreme. Srimati Radharani ki! Yes. So this is the uninterrupted, unmotivated love for Krishna. Bhakti is Anya Abhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. The epitome of Bhakti is Srimati Radharani. Anya Abhilashita Shunyam, no other desires. Now my dear friends, when we are hearing this, and let us not just hear it as it, yeah, of course we should hear it in a way that we are glorifying Srimati Radharani. But parallelly, we must also be hearing this. I said, okay, how can I learn something from this? What can I learn? If we simply hear and not do anything about it, then it's simply shrama evai kevalam. And you can keep on hearing. I don't know, this may be at least my 30th Radhashtami. But when I was asking myself today morning, no difference at all. Why? Because we heard it, but we didn't hear it. There's a difference between hearing and hearing. So when we are hearing these amazing stories of intense devotion, obviously we cannot fall in the, we cannot imitate them, otherwise we'll die. But we can follow in the footsteps of these Brajabadhus of Vrindavan. To do bhakti with no motivation. So let us just briefly understand. How was the birth of Radharani? Radharani was born in a very beautiful way. There are many, many different explanations as per the different yugas, the way she appears. But Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtida Devi were staying in this beautiful area of Mukharyavali, or Rawal, which is known right now. And they were just hoping that they would be getting a child. They were just trying all possible means, but they were not getting a child. They were very, 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 very upset, very, very sad. But of course, they were upset and sad, but they would continue doing their devotional service. Many times when we don't get something, we are praying for it, then we say, well, what is the use of this devotion? I'm not getting what I want. Huh? That is business. That's not devotion. Vrishabhanu Maharaj was continuing his service. And at the most unexpected moment, he was in the river Jamuna, right, submerged, and he was offering prayers. He was doing his afternoon Gayatri, offering his oblations in the holy river of Jamuna. A most amazing thing happened. A 1,000-petal lotus thus came swimming towards Vrishabhanu Maharaj. And he was eyes closed. This is of course explained by Gaur Govind Maharaj. His eyes was closed and it touched him. And it was such a feeling of, what's this? Not that he was scared. Oh! But it was just current of ecstasy which just vibrated in his body. Was this? And when he opened his eyes, this is beautiful 1,000-petal lotus. And within there was just unlimited light coming. And he saw in within the lotus, in the whirl of the lotus, beautiful child. Golden color. And he said, who is this? And he was looking, they were wanting to have a child. He took this baby girl and went to Kirtida Devi. I said, well, I found her on in the Jamuna. Say, maybe this is the prayer, our prayers are answered. And that happened today in the next 2 hours at 12 o'clock. This whole beautiful pastime of Srimati Radharani revealing herself to be staying in the home of Vrishabhanu Dulari, Vrishabhanu Nandini, the beautiful daughter of Vrishabhanu and Kirtida Devi. So she was born in a most amazing mystical way. And then as they were playing with her, I mean, there was, I mean, you know, I was, you know, Maharaj was saying that children, small children, anyway, very beautiful. They're very sweet. They're very chubby or whatever you call them. But can you imagine what was the beauty of this baby girl, Srimati Radharani? Golden effulgence. The direct goddess of fortune, the supreme goddess of fortune. But there was some deficiency. What was that? As they saw, they were trying to do things, but she would not see anything. She would not respond to any sense of seeing. She would not respond to anything of hearing, and she would not speak anything. So they were very, very sad. But they were happy to have a daughter, but sad. I said, she is blind, maybe deaf and dumb. So this was the situation of Brijbhanu and Kirtida. And moment the Brijbasis knew that there was a beautiful girl which was born at the house of Kirtida and Brijbhanu, it was festivaled. Because he was one of the richest Brijbasis. Brijbhanu was very rich. Nanda Maharaj had richness in the form of Godhan. And Brijbhanu Maharaj had richness in the form of jewels, and he was a rich man. Of course, what can you imagine if the goddess of fortune is staying in somebody's house? So there's a big festival. And from now on, what we're going to discuss is, what is it that Krishna loves in Srimati Radharani? What is it that we can imbibe from Srimati Radharani's? Let's see Radharani here as a wonderful devotee of the Lord, the supreme devotee of the Lord. And we as devotees, we need to learn something from her. So let us see her in that light. So the first thing that she taught by her example, right from her birth, that she had nothing to do, nothing to speak, nothing to hear, nothing to see, save and accept about Krishna. First teaching of Srimati Radharani. As devotees, we should also have that for the three monkeys. Three monkeys, right? Not to see anything which is not Krishna conscious, not to hear anything which is not Krishna conscious. Now many times we hear this, that things unfavorable to Krishna should be rejected and things favorable should be accepted. But as we spend more time in Krishna consciousness, I can say for myself, and you can take it if you feel for yourself also, we become very lax. And we start doing things which are very dangerous to Krishna consciousness. We start seeing things which are dangerous. We start hearing things which are dangerous to Krishna consciousness. And we start speaking things which are dangerous to your Krishna consciousness. But because we feel that we are quote unquote senior people, we have spent 10, 15 decades in Krishna consciousness, I will not be affected. But it is dangerous. It is very dangerous. Bhalna peribe al bhalna khoipe. Swapne bibi na karibe stri sambhashana. This is the instruction not given to some neophyte devotee by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Oh, you are a neophyte devotee, I'll tell you this. This is instructed by Raghunath Das to Raghunath Das Goswami. Bhalna peribe, bhalna khoibe. Swapne bibi na karibe stri sambhashana. For stri, it means the opposite. Or maybe it is with the current situation, it means the same also. What to do? We'll have to change our thinking. Our talking. Yeah. So Radharani, through her beautiful, the first teaching that she's teaching, that she didn't have nothing to, it is explained by Gaur Govind Maharaj, that, you know, she was up there and said, Krishna said, I'm going to descend down and you also come down when we are going to perform pastimes on Bhubrindavan. I said, I don't want to come down. So no, you have to come down. Without you, what will be the pastimes? Govardhana has already gone down. Jamuna has already gone down. The gopas and gopis already gone down. Now you have to come down. Radharani said one condition. As I said, there's that but always, right? But I'll come down. But what was the condition Radharani made? The one condition that she made is that the first thing that I ever see, the first person that I ever talk to, and the first person that I ever touch the first person that I ever smell, the first person that I ever see should be you. That's the condition. Because I have nothing to do with anybody else. Akala Ishwara Krishna Ara Sakala Bhritya. That was the teaching that she was teaching to all of us. Krishna is the only truth. Everything else is Bhritya. Do we really have conviction in this? Ask yourself, my dear friends, on this holy day of Radhashtami. Ask yourself, she's teaching us. So when she was born, Nanda Yashoda came to say, Badhai ho, Nanda Vrishabhanu Maharaj, you've been blessed by a daughter. Congratulations. And they were all busy with festivities. And Krishna wanted to fulfill his promise to Radharani. And you see this beautiful Leela right there. Krishna goes crawling. And then he pulls the cradle. And then he touches Radharani. And Radharani opens her eyes. Because the only thing that she as a supreme devotee wants to see is Krishna. And the only touch that she wants to experience is Krishna. And then Krishna also cried. And Radharani also cried. The only thing that she wanted to hear is Krishna's words. And the only thing that she wanted to speak was with Krishna. So the first thing, my dear friends, that we are learning from Radharani, that let us all become Krishna-mai. What is Krishna-mai? That every senses are filled with Krishna. It's a long drawn process, no doubt. Our senses are just so turbulent. But at least that's the goal. At least let's make that the goal. The problem is many times we forget the goal. The second important beautiful lesson, what really endears Radharani to Krishna, something that we can also imbibe. There's a beautiful statement made by our most wonderful Acharya, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarvi Thakur. It's a very deep statement he made. He said, don't try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he wants to see you. And I was in a talk. This was a talk happening in Barsana. Radhana Swami was giving this talk. And this was the inauguration of the annual eye camp many, many years back. Radhana Swami was inaugurating the Barsana eye camp. And for that talk, one of the very great personalities of Barsana, very renowned sadhu, Ramesh Baba, we heard about him in the book also. He was sitting there, his eyes closed. I was observing both of them. And Maharaj was trying to create a mood of service to Brijabasis. And he quoted this phrase. He said, don't try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna and his devotees in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. And believe me, when Ramesh Baba was eyes closed, and when he heard this, he said, wow. That wow from him doesn't happen easily. It was such a wonderful understanding that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gave to us. Don't try to see Krishna. The whole world, if they are even Krishna devotees, I mean not the whole world, but people, most of the majority of people who are Krishna devotees, they want to just see Krishna. And they do all sorts of mental gymnastics to just assume that they saw Krishna. It is so natural, right? Many times people say, you know, I went to Vrindavan, my car was spoiled, and somebody suddenly came from the car, and he took me there, and then, the conclusion we all have to make is, Krishna came. I mean, with all due respect, Krishna may be coming, but not that he comes for every stranded yatri in Vrindavan. But here, you know, it's such a natural understanding that Krishna came, I saw Krishna, and I do the other. I mean, we are just so eager, unfortunately, to see Krishna. But Bhaktisiddhanta said, we are not. We don't want to see Krishna. We are just so busy serving Krishna. Like this great devotee, Pundalik. A Vittal came and said, wait, I'm serving my parents. They are great devotees. You wait here. Great devotee of the Lord. Krishna wanted to see him. Because what is the understanding? That serve Krishna in such a way, serve his devotees in such a way, that Krishna wants to see you. And that is the mood of Srimati Radharani. Krishna was in the forest of Vrindavan one day. And he said, Subal, he's a very dear friend. He's a Priya Narma Sakha, very intimate devotee, friend of Krishna. Subal is one of the very close Priya Narma Sakha. I said, Subal, intense separation from Radharani I'm experiencing. I have to meet her. Now please, my dear friends, I'm going to remind you again and again. There is nothing material about this. I'm telling myself and telling all of us. When Krishna wants to meet Radharani, it is not the mundane love affairs that we see all around. Krishna was experiencing the intense separation from this great devotee. He said, I have to meet Radharani. But Subal said, it is, you know, Radharani is staying in her house. Her mother-in-law and sister-in-law are there. It is full daylight. And how can you meet her now? He said, no, I have to meet her. Otherwise, I can't live. I can't survive. I will die. You have to do something. Subal said, my God, this is serious. This is very serious. So then Subal went to the house with a calf and he pushed the calf inside the house in Javat. He went to Javat. Javat is the place where Radharani's, Sasural, his in-laws, Abhimanyu, supposedly her husband, stays there in Javat. So he sent a calf inside. And Jatila Kutila are quite a character in Vrindavan. Quite an interesting character. Both are, as depicted from the paintings, they are quite heavy-bodied ladies. Very heavy-bodied. Very, very gross features. And he said, hey, what are you doing in our house? Subal said, no, my calf has just ran inside. I want to pick up the calf. And of course, they are so heavy-bodied. They say, okay, take it. They don't get up. This Gorgon Swami Maharaj is... He's narrating this beautiful pastime. He said, they didn't get up. I said, okay, take it. He ran straight into the room of Radharani. He said, Srimati Radharani, Krishna has to see you. And I said, but how can I go? And the interesting part is, the Subal Sakha has very similar features as Radharani. He is very delicate, similar features. Subal Sakha said that we'll exchange. I will wear your sari and you wear my dress. We'll exchange and I will sit here and you go. Rani said, oh, this is a very beautiful plan. Huh? So then, she took that calf, she put her on her chest, to cover her chest, and she ran out and Subal was sitting inside. And then Radharani was dressed as Subal Sakha, and then Krishna said, oh, you came, where is Radharani? I said, if you don't get her, I'm feeling intense separation from Radharani. Couldn't you manage to get her? What sort of a useless friend are you? Of course, this was Radharani. Radharani felt so nice that how much Krishna is intensely wanting to meet with me. And as explained by Radhana Swami, Radharani came very close by and said, Krishna, I am Srimati Radharani. Didn't you recognize me? And of course, they were so happy being together. And of course, it's not. I didn't read what happened to Subal there. I was trying to find out what happened to him, but I think Krishna would have managed him also, I guess, in some way or the other. So this is how intensely Radharani is so much intensely serving Krishna that Krishna wants to see her. Radharani becomes angry in this beautiful place called Managad. Radharani goes into this Man Leela and she sits on the place. And Krishna is saying, Krishna is begging. If you see that photograph on this beautiful temple of Man Mandir, Krishna is begging to Lalita Devi. Lalita Devi is quite a very strong personality. He said, please let me go inside. Krishna cannot survive knowing that Radharani is upset with him. He cannot survive when Radharani says, I don't want to see Krishna. Krishna wants to see her. That's the love. That's Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur's philosophy. Don't try to see Krishna, but serve in such a way. Krishna is desperately wanting to meet Radharani, but in this case, no entry at all. Krishna said, I have to meet. I have to some other pacify her. He runs down the hill of Man and goes up to the other hill. And Krishna becomes a beautiful peacock. Started dancing. Krishna is anyway Nataraj. Is any rather Vrindavan Natavar. A great dancer. But when he becomes a peacock, he becomes a more beautiful dancer. He's there dancing and Radharani sees on the opposite hill. Who is this beautiful peacock dancing? Radharani goes down and of course this beautiful Leela which is depicted in the Mor Kutir. But behind this very esoteric Leela, it's very esoteric for most of, at least for me and for many of us, we might not understand this intense, sweet conjugal passion of the Lord. But what do we learn from this? What is the lesson that we learn? Let us have this mood that Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur gave us. Don't try to see Krishna the way Radharani is. She's just so busy serving him. The Krishna is desperately wanting to see her. He cannot survive without her. And there's so many beautiful examples of in our sampradaya where Krishna is so much lalait in Vrindavan they say, Arey Bhagwan to Radharani ko dekhne ke liye itne lalait hai. The lalait word is so sweetly. There's no English word to lalait. We can say greed, but doesn't really give that intensity. Lalait is very sweet. That Krishna is lalait. He's so greedy to meet Radharani. Why? Because he's so busy serving Krishna. She's just so satisfied serving Krishna that Krishna wants to see her. Second reason why Krishna is... First reason is because she has nothing to do with anything else. She's Krishna Mai. That's why Krishna loves her. Second reason, because she's just so busy serving, Krishna wants to just be with her. The third reason, that she is so very secured in her own devotion, that she is just so eager to put everybody in front to Krishna. When somebody is insecure, then he or she wants to be in the front. You know, if you imagine if Krishna is there and Radharani was insecure, then she would have not allowed any gopis. I am the main gopi. Come on, side. When the beautiful swing pastimes, the Julan pastime of the Lord, which is the most festive occasion in Vrindavan, just went. We celebrated it beautifully. The Julan pastime is explained that Krishna, they made this beautiful, elaborate Julan arrangements were done. The one Julan Yatra festival happened in at Radha Kund. And the gopis around Vrindadevi, they made this beautiful Julan from a very tall tree. And then Radha and Krishna were swinging. And you know, as the swing goes more, Radharani said, stop. Don't do too fast. I become giddy. So Krishna said, okay, stop. Then as the swing was moving, but Krishna was still moving his legs. You understand? You can move the swing through your legs if you're sitting. For those who know the science of swinging. It's a science. Yeah. So you can. So Krishna was still doing and the swing was going more and more and more. Radharani says, stop it. It is explained by our acharyas that Krishna was swinging the swing so intensely that the swing started going round like this. Like a merry-go-round. And Radharani was so intense. Oh, Krishna, stop it. She was hugging Krishna. I said, Krishna, stop it. I can't. This is just so difficult. And by this constant round turning, the branches twisted. Because, you know, the branch on which it was tied, and just few hundred years ago, that same branch was still there on the Imritala tree. The same branch which was twisted by the swing pastime was still there. And then Gorgui Maharaj explains. And then what happened? Then Krishna stopped the swing. And Radharani got down. And what did she do? She took Lalita Devi. And said, now you sit with Krishna. And I will swing you. And then she took Vishakha Devi. And slowly, and Lalita Devi said, no, how can I sit with Krishna? You have the prerogative to sit with Krishna. She said, no, sit. I want you to enjoy with Krishna. That was the supreme munificence of Radharani. To putting everybody in the front to enjoy with Krishna. Because she's a secured devotee. Amazing, isn't it? She puts everybody in the front. And Prabhupada explains that when we approach Radharani, and what does she say? She tells that, you know, this devotee, he is better than me. Please accept him. She tells to Krishna. And Krishna says, oh, he is better than you? And Krishna doesn't really analyze any statement of Radharani. It is pure truth when Radharani speaks. Krishna accepts us. That's the glory of Srimati Radharani. That she is just so eager to bring everybody to Krishna. And that should be our mood. We should not be just happy with our own devotion. And that was the great mood of Srila Prabhupada. He was a devotee of the Lord. He was relishing Radha Krishna Leela in Vrindavan. He could have lived the rest of his life in Vrindavan, been a very respectable Brijabasi. But he wanted to give the Radha Tattva to every single person in the world. Say, if I'm enjoying, everybody should enjoy. That is the mood of Srimati Radharani. That is exactly why Krishna just loves Radharani for what she is, because she's always putting everybody in the front. That's her devotion. It's explained, this beautiful pastime of Prabhupada, where Prabhupada, Pushkar Prabhu, who was a great painter, you know, he got different paintings to Srila Prabhupada. I said, which of the paintings should be in the books? Because there was they were coming out with various Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita books. So he made different paintings. And the Prabhupada saw different paintings. And there was one painting which he had made, in which Radharani is pulling Lalita towards Krishna. Of course, that some other painting is not known to us, but it is explained. Niranjan Swami was explaining in his talk. That's what I was hearing, and he says that this painting, when Prabhupada saw this painting, he said, this is the real mood. This is the mood that Radharani is teaching us, Prabhupada said. That how she is so eager to get everybody close to Krishna. This is a nice painting. This is a very nice painting. That is the mood that we should all have to bring Krishna, to bring everybody close to Krishna. Now, another very, very important reason why Krishna loves Srimati Radharani is, Radharani is completely chaste to Krishna. There's nothing else in Krishna. When you say chastity, it's not just chastity in the form of bodily chastity, but for us, chastity to the teachings, chastity to the sampradaya, chastity to our spiritual master. So it's explained that Krishna wanted to prove the chastity of Srimati Radharani. And unfortunately in Vrindavan, you know, because they have, you know, not unfortunately, but people said, Radharani is, and how can she be chaste? Because she has, you know, she meets Krishna in this and that. Krishna says, but chastity in a mundane understanding could be that, you know, if a wife is not chaste to the husband, she is not chaste. But the real chastity that Krishna wanted to explain is, if you love Krishna, if you are chaste to Krishna, that's the highest chastity. It is beyond moral chastity. So Krishna had a fever. No, Krishna gets headache, Krishna gets fever. Quite interesting. So Krishna had a fever and he told Mother Yashoda, that I need the water from the Jamuna. I said, very simple, I'll get the water from Jamuna. What is the big problem? So no, but that Jamuna water should be carried by the most chaste lady in Vrindavan. Oh, that's also very simple, not a problem. I'll find the most chaste lady and we'll ask her to get it. But no, it should be carrying in a container which has 1,000 holes. How is this possible? I said, no, that is the only way my fever will go. And Krishna was burning with fever, intense fever. So Mother Yashoda, as explained by Gaur Govind Maharaj, was saying that the most chaste person in Vrindavan, she thought, was Jatila and Kutila, but they keep on talking about chastity. So he said, they must be the most chaste because they talk about chastity, chastity, chastity. So they went to Jatila. I said, Jatila Mata, you are the most chaste. Jatila Mataji was not so comfortable because it just in case if water does not remain, I'll be exposed. So no, you must do it, you must do it. So Mother Yashoda pushed because she was in intense emergency because Krishna was having fever. So she pushed Jatila. Jatila is the mother-in-law, by the way. So she pushed and Jatila, she took this pot with 1,000 holes and put in Jamuna. And one step, poof, and everybody was saying, what is this? They're all laughing. And then Kutila said, this is very dangerous, my mother has not succeeded. I said, no, you do it. So Krishna wanted to, you know, Krishna has a great laugh also. Vrindavan is full of fun. Yeah, it's not a serious place, it's fun. So Kutila just took the pot, you know, and moment she came out, she took one step, Gauravya Maharaj explained, she took one step more than her mother. She was one step better than her mother. So then they say, oh my God, whom do I find out now? So then, of course, when there's any confusion, any doubts, any difficulties, who comes? Anybody knows? Narad Muniji. Narad Muniji comes and he says, in my opinion, you should ask Radharani. Radharani? I said, no, please, she's the most chaste. People couldn't believe, and of all the people, Jatila Kutila couldn't believe. I said, no, we have many times trying to catch her red-handed. We are not yet catch her, but she has this relationship with Krishna. How can she be chaste? I said, no, try. Mother, Radharani, with great humility, with great shyness, she went to Jamuna, she took the pot with thousands of holes, and as she walked, not a single drop of water fell. And she got to Krishna. Krishna wanted to prove to the rest of the world that let's not talk about morality in a chastity. The real chastity for all of us is we are chaste to Krishna. We love only Krishna. We serve only Krishna. We attach to only Krishna. And that's what we need to love. And that's what we need to have. That's the teaching that we get from Srimad Radharani. Chastity to our sampradaya. Chastity to Srila Prabhupada. That is why Srimad Radharani is so very dear, you know, to Krishna. And one of the most amazing things is that this love of Srimad Radharani is so wonderful that she has absolutely no consideration of the external situations or what the material world would say. Many of us, I remember many years, when I was not a devotee, you know, my brother was a devotee. He became a devotee first, Dwarkadish Prabhu. He first became a devotee. And then he would start wearing tilak. And I was his younger brother. We would walk together on the street. And I felt so embarrassed that, you know, this man is wearing tilak and it is not because what will people say? I didn't mind him wearing tilak at home. But what will people feel about it? So I would somehow either jump and rub his tilak. And then I felt nice. Oh, now I can walk with him. Because we are so conscious of people, isn't it? Huh? Very conscious of people. I mean, the proof of how conscious we are of what we, the way we look, is the proof is what we do when we enter the lift. You know, believe me, I've no offenses. I've seen, you know, many brahmacharis also, you know, making their shikha nicely after they enter the lift. Because we are conscious how we look and, you know, putting hair. Because the moment we see the mirror, we are conscious of ourselves. The point we are trying to drive is we are very conscious of way we do things, what the world would say about it. But Srimati Radharani is completely, I simply need to do whatever is required to do for Krishna. We don't care what the world says. Of course, as a preacher, being in a preaching movement, we have to consider that also. So there's a beautiful story. Many times we hear, right, that when Krishna plays this flute, you know, the gopis just run. And sometimes the way it is described that, you know, they wear the upper part of the cloth in the lower part and lower part of the cloth the upper part. I mean, you wonder, how is it possible? I mean, from practical point of view, how can you do that, even if you're in a great hurry? But we cannot have material considerations. The intensity of the love and the attraction of the gopis, we cannot understand because they are not bothered with what the world thinks about them. Because they are just drawn to Krishna. They are simply drawn to Krishna. So one beautiful pastime where Krishna played his flute, he was near Barsana, in a village next to Barsana. Krishna played his flute. And Radharani was just nearby and she came running. And as she was in a great hurry, she wore her clothes properly, but she forgot to put the anjan, the mascara. And Krishna said, well, what? Why have you forgotten to put? The mascara is an important decoration for a lady. She forgot to put the mascara. I said, oh, I forgot. Should I go back? I said, no, no need to go. So Krishna was sitting on the stone and he rubbed the stone. He rubbed a little, and that stone became a mascara, and he applied the mascara to Srimati Radharani. And our acharyas explain that this is nothing but Krishna was acting as a spiritual master. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Ridayeshu Vilokayanti. I'm sorry. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya. That Krishna applies the mascara in the eyes of Srimati Radharani is a very esoteric pastime. Even now, if you go to this beautiful village of Ajnok or Anjanvan, very close to Barsana, you still have that same rock. You still rub little water and rub it. And it becomes a mascara. The rock next to it, you rub for rest of eternity. Only fingers will become short. Nothing else will happen. But rub the next rock. You rub it. For those who have been. Yeah, you must have seen this place. You rub it. Little black mascara. Even now, after 5,000 years, this rock is still lively telling this beautiful pastime. But what does this pastime mean to us? Krishna is not going to apply. He's not going to call us. We are not going to be attracted by the fruit and all this. It's very esoteric. What does it mean to us? That the spiritual master, through the knowledge, he applies the anjan and he opens our eyes to knowledge. That is what Radharani is teaching us. We are in a great hurry to enjoy the sense gratification of this material world. We are not getting called by Krishna's flute, but we are getting called by the call of Maya. And Krishna catches us, as I said, I'll apply this anjan. The guru, spiritual master, the knowledge of the scriptures, they apply this anjan. And that's how we really understand the purpose of life. So these are the various reasons why Srimati Radharani is so very dear to Krishna. Her personality is so very special to Krishna. So what, you know, what is the mood that we approach Radharani today? I remember first time I was going to Vrindavan, to Barsana. I was, some other, I just happened to be going alone because I was going for the eye camp. I came to temple to seek blessings of the deities. This was in the year, some years back. And I met one of the senior brahmacharis of the temple. A very, very senior brahmachari. I said, Prabhu, I am going to Vrindavan. I am going for the seva. What is your instruction to me? The first line he said, which was such a piercing line, he said, you are going to Barsana? Srimati Radharani is the sole proprietor of all devotional service. You should beg to her for devotional service. And of course, this is exactly what Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Devotion. She is the sole proprietor. Interesting. What the designation is given to Srimati Radharani. She is the sole proprietor. Nobody else. Exclusivity of all devotional service that all of us are trying to perform, all of us want to perform, and the only way that we can make advancement in Krishna consciousness is through this service. Devotional service. Who has the sole proprietorship of this? Srimati Radharani. So we should be begging to Srimati Radharani for this service. The real mood, as Radhana Swami explains, every time we hear about Srimati Radharani or for Krishna, the real mood is they were coming as intense, desperate beggars. Now why are we using these adjectives for beggars? Because there are some, you know, not so desperate beggars. You don't want to give them, right? If a beggar comes, bakshish, bakshish, paisa, paisa deo, paisa deo. If he's not desperate, you don't feel the compassion to give. Huh? But somebody is really desperate. And you can see from their face that they are really desperate. Then you feel like. So if you just approach Krishna, if you approach, you know, Radharani and say that, you know, please give me some divine service. I say, you are not desperate. That's why the right mood that we need to approach Srimati Radharani is intense, desperate. And the desperation will come how? Two ways. Knowing our fallen situation and knowing the merciful divine situation of Radharani. Two things. If this two combination is there, then the desperation will come from our heart. So devotional service is something very, very, very important. You know, there's the beautiful pastime of Brahmananda Prabhu. Brahmananda Prabhu was sent to Vrindavan in the the mid-60s after the first few devotees who went to Vrindavan. And they were trying to find place in Vrindavan. And then Prabhupada was just coming for the first time to Vrindavan, and they were all feeling that now Prabhupada is coming back to Vrindavan, and we'll pick him up from Delhi, and then Prabhupada will start speaking about the most, you know, naturally, right? They all thought that Prabhupada is coming to Vrindavan, he will show his real, you know, love for Vrindavan, the esotericness of Vrindavan will start coming from his heart. So Prabhupada came to the airport. Now this is, we must hear it. This is, he's speaking. It's a video. And as Prabhupada came, and they were all eager. There were 2-3 devotees. They all, Prabhupada sat in the car, and they were all eager. That now Prabhupada starts speaking. He's just eagerly waiting to be in Vrindavan. He's just going to be in Vrindavan. He starts speaking about. So Prabhupada was silent for a long time. And they all became, Brahman Prabhupada explaining, we all became more eager. And now whatever comes out will be very intense. But Prabhupada's eyes closed. And then after almost, he says 40 minutes, Prabhupada said, cement! So they all said, what? Prabhupada said, we should protect the cement. They're stealing the cement from, you know, from the construction site in Vrindavan temple. And then Prabhupada spoke elaborately throughout the journey about how they're getting cheated in this, is it that, and how they should be just chanting just the minimum number of 16 rounds and just focus on the construction of the temple. So then he explains, the Prabhupada was attached not just to the emotion of being in Vrindavan, but the devotion of being in Vrindavan. There's one thing of which is the emotion. You can be very emotional about being in Vrindavan. You can talk many things, which is nice. Nothing against that. But without the strong conviction of devotional service. And devotional service is all about not just Radhe Radhe. It's all about cement, construction, book distribution, management, accounts, counseling. It's all sorts of devotional service. Believe me, this is all mercy of Srimati Radharani upon us. No devotional service is ordinary. It is the supreme favor of Srimati Radharani upon us. It is a supreme favor. Sachinanand Swami was explaining very beautifully the way what happens. Just like Jamuna and Ganga flows from the pristine clean from the Himalayas, right? You have seen photographs, if you have not really gone there also, how clean Jamuna and Saras Ganga are. Prestingly clean. But the moment she comes down and there is human intervention, and she gets polluted. And then what you see, unfortunately, in Vrindavan or other places, is just a polluted Jamuna, polluted Ganges. So painful. Satyana Swami was explaining that devotional service, whatever that is a direct manifestation of Radharani mercies upon us. But we pollute that devotional service by our desire for enjoying through that devotional service. We tinge it with some ulterior motives that we start having, that if I do the book distribution, my name will be announced and I'll get some glory. Book distribution is a pristine devotional service. But then you mix it with our corrupt mind, our corrupt desires. Then becomes filthy, dirty nala. You understand? So that's exactly what we need to pray. Because we want to pray that we keep on doing devotional service. Otherwise, as I was thinking, if we think we are doing devotional service, but we are not in the right mood. Because you must understand, this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is a consciousness-driven society and not an activity-based society. It is not activity based. It is not what activity you do. It is consciousness based. If you don't have the consciousness, even if you think you are doing devotional service, you are actually not doing devotional service. You are doing simply notional service. Devotion is not there. When devotion is not there, what remains is simply notional service. You think you are doing it. And believe me, if you are doing notional service, more notional service, more service. And at the end of your life, you think, I did lots. And you realize, what is it? Zero plus zero plus zero, Prabhupada said. One big zero. Nothing there. The mercy is there, but we pollute it. So let us all really pray to Srimati Radharani.
And why should we pray to Srimati Radharani?
It's explained in this beautiful story again, because she is Karuna Prem Dayamai Radhe. Karuna Prem Daya Kripa. All the same synonyms. Karuna Prema Dayamai Radhe, Karuna Prema Kripamai Radhe.
She is filled with these emotions. And this was epitomized with this beautiful pastime of the Jackal at Sri Radha Kund. The Jackal had come there, and the Brijbasi boys were baby Jackal. They were trying to make fun of him. He fell into a ditch. They put burning wood in the ditch and they were burning him. He was shouting intensely, loudly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He was shouting the names of Radharani for intense desperation. Please help me.
Radharani was passing by. Jackal, as an animal, are very sly.
You can never have a
nobody has a pet jackal. You can have a dog and other goat, but do not have pet jackals because they're sly animals. The jackal was intensely crying, and the Radharani sent Lalita Devi and said, "Please go. Who is this person crying?" Because she is Karunamai. She cannot see anybody crying. She is the mother, as we said, she is Jagan Mata. Can a mother see the child crying? But if the mother also knows the child very well, the mother knows exactly when the child is really crying and child is acting to cry. Right? And when you're acting to cry, mother will say, "Let me do my work." Right? So Jackal was intensely crying, and then she got, and the Jackal got delivered. She delivered, and she went back to Godhead by the Radharani's mercy. A Jackal, just because intensely crying, got Radharani's mercy, because she is giving that mercy. Her heart pains when she sees people suffering. Similarly, you know, we should be praying that let us become an instrument in giving mercy to others. There was one beautiful story of Vrindavan which I heard. There was a village called Sacholi nearby Barsana. So we go to this village for some seva. And then I always ask wherever I go to this village, the different villages, what is this village about? Is there some special thing that has happened? So yeah, there's a Sacholi Devi here. The temple of Sacholi Devi. I said, I have a lot of seva, I don't have time. I just offered from far. I said, "Are ye Radharani ka mandir hai." I said, "You said Sacholi Devi." I said, "No, there's a beautiful pastime." I said, I went to the temple and then they told a beautiful pastime. He said, "Here Radha and Krishna met." And then as Radha and Krishna were meeting, the mother and daughter-in-law, Jatila Kutila, came running to find out where is Radharani. Moment they were just nearby, the assistants of Vrinda Devi, the assistants of Radharani, they said, "Please hide fast. They are just nearby. You'll be exposed. It'll be known that you are meeting Krishna." Krishna said, "Don't worry." And immediately Krishna took the form of a Devi. Some Devi form. Huh? And Radharani started worshipping Krishna. And then when Jatila Kutila came, I said, "Oh, this is so nice." I said, "What are you doing, Radharani?" He said, "No, I'm praying for the long life of my husband. This Devi gives long life to the husband." "Oh, very nice. Please continue praying." And then Jatila Kutila went. And Radharani says to Krishna, "That Krishna, you are my dear, real friend." Real friend in Hindi, friend in Hindi means Ali. And real friend means Sachi Ali. Ali means friend. "That you are my Sachi Ali." And that's how this village became Sacholi. Sachi Ali. And then, when I told this pastime to Radhana Swami, I was sharing this pastime with him, he said, and he gave a beautiful understanding. He said, "Yes, the most embarrassing situation for all of us is that we have forgotten Krishna. And Krishna sends the Guru, who is our real friend, to really tell us. The most embarrassing thing is to forget Krishna for the Jiva soul. Thus Radharani is saying that, Krishna, you saved me from greatest embarrassment. Similarly, the Guru is the greatest friend of the Jiva soul, because it is He who reveals and gets us out of this embarrassing situation and makes us remember Krishna, gives us a process to remember Krishna. And that's how we should become real friends of everybody in this world. And what is a real friend? What is a real friend? A real friend is, of course, friend in need is a friend indeed. And what is the real need that people have? The real need of Krishna consciousness. What the world needs is Krishna consciousness. That is why, my dear friends, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting, the background, little background is required, when he was sitting in this beautiful garden at the time of Rath Yatra, King Pratap Rudra Maharaj was trying to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for many, many years. Mahaprabhu would not meet him. So, I don't want to meet a king. And finally, the devotee sent Pratap Rudra Maharaj. He was such a great devotee of the Lord. He says, send him. And Pratap Rudra Maharaj did a very menial service. He was sweeping the street when Lord Jagannath was passing. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always very happy with Pratap Rudra Maharaj. But he saw this menial service. He was entering as a bhangi. I said, this is very special. And he dressed as a bhangi, as a sweeper. He went. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was resting in this forest. What is this garden called? It's Narendra. Jagannath Vallabh Gardens, yes. Jagannath Vallabh Gardens. He was resting there. And then Pratap Rudra Maharaj came and he was starting massaging the Lord's feet. And as he was massaging, he started singing the Gopi Geet. Jayati te dikam janmana vraja sarat indira shashwajatrahi. Beautiful songs which were sent to the gopis after Krishna left them from Rasa dance. Beautiful verses from the 31st chapter of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy where the gopis are glorifying. It will be very purifying, my dear friends, to really read these verses today, Samadhi, if you find time. Beautiful glorification of Krishna by the gopis of Vrindavan. How they glorify, so much knowledge, so much tattva is there in that prayers. And then when he said the ninth verse, Tava katha amritam tapta jivanam kavi bhiriditam kalmashapaham Shravana Mangalam Srimadatatam Bhuvi Grinannati Ye Bhuridajana. So when he sang this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jumped up. Till now his eyes were closed, then he jumped up and he said, you are indeed Bhurida, he told Pratap Rudra, because you are telling me about Krishna. This is the verse which gave tremendous ecstasy. And what is this verse all about? He said, the nectar of your words, the gopis are telling Krishna. Please hear very attentively. The nectar of your words and the description of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations transmitted by the learned sages eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly, those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent welfare workers. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the mood of Srimati Radharani, was relishing the Gopi Gita in the mood of Srimati Radharani. When he heard this, he became ecstatic. So, just repeating what Niranjan Maharaj and Sachinan Maharaj were saying, they were discussing, Sachinan Maharaj was quoting this discussion that they both had. They both were discussing, two great god brothers were discussing. I said, what is it? We know how to please Krishna, but how to please Radharani? They were trying to figure out, how do we please Radharani? And he said, after a lot of discussion, we came to a conclusion, they said. And Sachinan Maharaj was quoting this conclusion. We came to a conclusion that the way we can please Srimati Radharani is to give this mercy of Krishna to as many people as we meet in this material world. Because she is Dayamayi. She as a mother wants all her children back. And if we become that munificent welfare worker, Burida Jana, in our own small, medium, moderate or big way, whatever way we are, our aunt or Hanuman, whatever small or big service we can do, in our own way, we can be that agent of Srimati Radharani, an agent of Srila Prabhupada, agent of our spiritual master, in giving this mercy. They said, it was their conclusion, that that is the best way we can please Srimati Radharani. There's no other way we can please Srimati Radharani. And let us all pray today. I was just thinking that if you go to Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani, Radha Shyama Sundar, very beautiful, extremely charming. She attracts all the living entities by her beautiful charm. And after getting attracted to Radha Shyama Sundar of Vrindavan, then she blesses us in a form of Radha Ras Bihari. Radharani is like this. And then, the most unique way, Radha Gopinath, after attracting our hearts, after blessing us, she will offer us to see Gopinath. In this very unique pose that we have of Radharani here, she's offering this beautiful garland, and through this garland, she's actually offering all of us at the lotus feet of Gopinath. And as he said, if Radharani says that Krishna is a nice devotee, Krishna will never refuse. You cannot approach Krishna through all sorts of gymnastics you can do, spiritual gymnastics. Krishna is not impressed. But one word of Radharani. Prabhupada says, Radharani will beseech on your behalf. What a beautiful word. She will beseech on our behalf. Every lecture I read of Prabhupada on Radhastami is all about this. Krishna is Madan Mohan. But Radharani is Madan Mohan Mohini. Rupa Goswami writes in the first chapter of the Nectar of Devotion, right? The first two pages, he says very clearly, Krishna is Madan Mohan, but Radharani is Madan Mohan Mohini. Krishna is attracting Cupid, but Radharani attracts the person who attracts Cupid. She controls Krishna by her love. If she tells Krishna, this devotee is very nice, Krishna will accept us. So that's why Prabhupada was in his lecture saying, that's why devotees of Vrindavan, they say, Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. The mood of Vrindavan is that we want to approach Srimati Radharani. Because if Radharani, as Prabhupada said, Punya Koribe Tabe Radha Rani Khushi Hobe. If Radharani is happy, you are delivered. No problem. So today, and not just today, but I'm sure all of us are trying to be devotees in this mood in the past, today, in the present, and we're hoping and praying and seeking blessings of the Vaishnavas, because Radharani's blessings, the most powerful, as Gaurang Prabhu was beautifully explaining yesterday, the most powerful thing, the most hard thing to crush is ego. It is not even diamond. The most hard thing to crush is ego. And the most powerful thing that crushes the ego is Vaishnav Kripa. And Vaishnav Kripa will come when we have mercy of Srimati Radharani. So let us all, and it is vice versa. If we have Vaishnav Kripa, we have mercy of Radharani. If we have mercy of Radharani, Vaishnav Kripa is there. So today is the day, I repeat, that it's a day to have the mood of intense beggars. I don't know what it means, but hopefully by your blessings, I will understand the mood. I'm just simply repeating what we have heard. But it's a mood of begging, realizing our desperate situation. Now that we have embarked on this journey of the spiritual life, you can't go back. It's impossible to go back, right? We can't enjoy going back. So Krishna has really created a big problem for all of us. And we don't want to be Trishankus, just dangling in between. So let's go forward full speed. And that way we can go full forward and perfect our life and become wonderful servants of Srila Prabhupada. Is that we try to beg for the mercy of Srimati Radharani today. And the mercy of Srimati Radharani is directly available by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual master. Because spiritual master is the representative in our life of this divine personality, Srimati Radharani. In the Guruvastak prayers, we say, Shri Radhaya Kama Dhavayor Opara Madhurya Leela Guna Rupa Namnam Pratikshanasva Dhanulolupasya. Pratikshanasva Dhanulolupasya. Lolupasya means greed. Spiritual master is greedy. Every Pratikshana Aswadana Lolupasya. He is relishing greedily every second of Radha Madhava's wonderful pastimes, because he is a wonderful representative of Shri Shri Radha and Krishna in our lives. Srila Prabhupada is the wonderful representative of Srila Prabhupada in our life. So I can simply say the prayer that Radhana Swami told us to repeat many, many years back. Let us pray for genuine humility and genuine gratitude. Let us pray for real spirit of determination and surrender to execute Krishna consciousness. Let us all pray that someday we get the taste of chanting the Maha Mantra and share the same taste with others. And while we try to spread the mercy of others, let us parallelly take devotees, those who are already devotees, to take care of them also. Because many times we are just so busy thinking of outsiders, the devotees who are there already, we need to protect them also. Let us pray for humility, genuine gratitude, determined spirit and determined feeling of surrender, taste for the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And let us be eager to spread this message to as many people as possible. Buridajana. Let us become that most munificent welfare worker in our own smaller little ways. And as part of being munificent, spending this mercy also, be very, very cognizant. Let us be very, very aware of the needs of our fellow devotees to protect them. Because while we attract people to the mission of Krishna consciousness, it is equally or rather more important also to protect those who have already taken shelter of Krishna, to protect their faith, to give them the right nourishment, in whatever way we can do to really create a beautiful community of devotees in Radha Gopinath and in ISKCON society and world at large. And as I said, Radharani is attracting us, that Radha Shyam Sundar, she is blessing us, Radha Ras Bihari. But let us all pray to Shri Radha Gopinath that we become one of that small petal or whatever way that she offers to the lotus feet of to Gopinath, and she says that Krishna, this so-and-so devotee is very nice, please accept him. And then he wants to get the mercy of Radharani. And as explained in Vrindavan, Tumara Beda Par Ho Gaya. Karlo, Karlo Beda Par. Radhe Alvelish. The beautiful song is there. Beda Par. You will be delivered. So I think that's what we are seeking today. The mercy of Srimati Radharani. The mercy of spiritual master and the mercy of the Vaishnavas. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.